It's Sunday, the 31st of March 2013. This morning we went for a walk down to Punapala. Got as far as the arch before the tide was too full, but it was a good walk. Came back and finished off Colin's wonderful apple crumble that served as dessert last night. It's been a really good stay. Different in the house, of course. Doesn't matter whether it rains and blows or not. Changes your attitude towards things. Very different experience camping. Had a lovely quasi-birthday meal last night. Documented thoroughly on via photographs. Starting with the empty plate and then with the full serving dishes and then the ultimate dish out and eat up, along with a glass of bubbly, of course. Very disturbing dreams last night. Really, really horrible, horrible dreams of being forced to jump from a platform onto a concrete floor that was going to kill me. But I didn't go first. There were a number of other people who were forced to do so, and their bodies shattered in all sorts of ways in front of my eyes, and then it was my turn. If that's not a premonition of death, I don't know what the fuck is. But all the time being in totally new situations I've never dreamt about before, with people I've never seen before, in circumstances which were tinged with absolute shitifying fear. I couldn't really get these things out of my mind even when I woke up. That's the wind you can hear howling. It's a pretty strong, gusty, more a westerly than a southwesterly. It needs to come further around to the south and calm down a lot. We've had some heavy showers of rain around the middle of the day today. It's now all cleared. There's a bit of high cloud, the sun broiling through in the usual way, heating up the ground and causing the humidity to increase. So everything's sort of vaguely misty. And great, much bigger swell today. It's pounding at high tide at the moment. Colleen and I just click when we come here. It's just easy as anything. Potter about, lots of jokes and laughing and love making. So does us both a world of good. on the walk down to Punapawa. It must have been about 10 o'clock by the time we got down to the big stretch of beach just before the arch. Tide was beginning to come in. It had washed up a couple of times and gone back again. Very high sand bank has been created along the base of the cliffs. And I think there's a lot of spring water comes out of there, and it produces these amazing rivulets in the sand. But the sun was just low enough to emphasize these with really remarkable shadows. And I got stuck in with the camera and just took, I don't know, a dozen or so images of these. I thought, will I? How many of these bloody images have I got, you know? And what actually is the point behind them all? But before I knew it, I was clicking away, organising compositions inside the frame. And it just felt marvellous. They're stunning, stunning. They look like engravings, old engravings or bronzes. But of course, we then went to the arch, couldn't get any further because of the tide. And on the way back, the tide had come in, that whole area was covered in turbulent sea. And clouds had come up and there was no sun anymore. It was just a dull grey atmosphere. And that's when I thought, oh yeah, that's right. You get your moment. If you don't take it, it'll never come back again. I just think about that in terms of a life. I think about the moments that I've taken and the moments that I haven't. And from where I sit now, even with all of the difficulties of the family, which I think are probably normal, don't know many families that don't have, you know, tensions and difficulties amongst various members. For some reason, I thought they'd never happen to me. And they're the result of certain decisions that were taken, particularly meeting Colleen. I mean, that really was a moment that was extraordinarily powerful. And if I had been a different kind of personality, I would have been able to kill it. I would have been able to just put it aside and say, no, too many people are going to be affected too badly by this. This is self-indulgent. It's not fair on everyone. But instead, I couldn't help it. Out came my camera. Only it was a piece of my anatomy instead. And before we knew where we were, I was gone. As CJ would say. And that's affected the rest of my life. And who knows how it would have turned out. Maybe it would have turned out better. I don't know. But when you have an impulse that's that powerful, I still think you should act. funny, isn't it? Because I realise I'm not a big gatherer of facts. I'm not a bona fide researcher. There's a few things that I've read, there's a few things that I've seen, there are a few experiences that I've had, but they stay with me. They become crucially important. Discovering C.G. Jung, for example, that has proved to be really important to me. You know, I think he was a bit of an old scoundrel, but some of the things that he put forward have formed part of my own personal philosophy. Even those early readings of R.D. Lang. Now, they're all crazy bastards, these people. They're all off-centre, you know. So they're just like photographing those markings on the sand, you know. Sun comes out, you look down at your feet and you think, fuck me, look at that. And I guess if you just look at it and absorb it and walk on, that's fine. But the impulse to document it, the impulse to somehow or other savour it, to enter into it, to be able to preserve a residue which can serve you as a reminder, as a entry point that you can use again and again when the actual moment is gone. Michael Polanyi's book, Meaning, is crucial, absolutely crucial, both as an art maker and a teacher, especially. The whole idea of personal truth, personal knowledge, personal understanding, that you don't have to be filled with an encyclopedia of facts, that you can sort everything out from what's right and what isn't. All you need is an innate sense, a powerful sense of common sense, really, and be prepared to trust that, and you can understand a great deal. You finish up in the same place. By dead reckoning that somebody else has used a GPS for. Pablo Neruda, E. Cummings. I think of all the poets I've read, those are the two. They just sit with me. And just the odd book or two. I'm not a great prose person. I love biography. I love even more autobiography. Just finished reading Annie Perreault's Bird Cloud, which is a sort of an autobiographical little work about her building a house in Wyoming. Beautiful, beautiful sculpted prose. Fantastically economical writer. And says all sorts of things through simple description. Then, of course, there's the music, isn't there? I mean, the more and more as I get older, the model of Beethoven is just so strong. Those works, those late works, are just the most outrageously avant-garde, stunningly courageous, filled with an innate understanding. If ever there was an example of personal knowledge, of following an impulse that came directly from him, that's it. Or he would never have transcended Haydn and Mozart the way he did, structurally. He would never have been able to use the tonal language in such a condensed manner, almost to the point of incoherence, without letting go of the norms, letting go of what Neruda called the cathedrals, the Gothic understanding of the universities, of the places of learning. Okay, that'll do for now. I'm going to pack up and hop up to Pete's seat and take in some of the turbulence of the high tide.